Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
This is the mother of all talk shows. This is Mom Talk Radio, and it is already May. This is Mary Donlin in for Maria, and I don't know where April went, but May is the month of mothers, and it is our favorite month here at Mom Talk Radio, other than maybe December because of the holidays. But happy Mother's Day week. This week leads up to the best holiday of the year for us, which is Mother's Day on Sunday, May 8th. And don't forget, on May 5th, actually, it was one of Maria's babies, is Mom's Night Out. So go to momsnightout.com. That's N-I-T-E, nightout.com. And there's going to be a couple of fun events you can do if you're staying in on Thursday night. And get the laundry done and get the kids to bed and enjoy Mom's Night Out with millions of moms online this year. And I want to quickly mention that Pre-Mama is a sponsor of today's show. And it's time to rethink your prenatal vitamins with Pre-Mama. Go to drinkpremama.com for information about these prenatal vitamins, as well as the fertility and lactation supplement that are powder. And you pour this powder into your favorite drink, smoothie or yogurt, and it gives you your daily doctor recommended intake of vitamins and nutrients, which are important for you and baby. So check it out at drinkpremama.com. You can also find it at CVS, Target, Amazon, and specialty stores. And we have a terrific show lineup for you. We are going to be talking to the creators, the genius creators of a new app called Peter and the Wolf in Hollywood, Doug Fitch and Edouard Jetta. And they will be talking about this fantastic new app, which is actually fun and entertaining, and actually exposes your kids to classical music by a youth orchestra. So you'll want to stick around for that. We'll be talking about adoption and how to throw an adoptive couple a baby shower. So some great tips on that. And we'll be talking about baby food with Allison Eberle, the founder of Pure Spoon. And before we break away to our first guest, I wanted to quickly mention that HP is offering a special in May that gets you 3 months of a product called Instant Ink. And I can tell you, I would have loved Instant Ink last week. My son printed out about 50 blue water pictures for an Earth Day project, and he basically used up 3 tanks of ink, and I would have loved Instant Ink. It's a subscription service that brings the ink directly to your door. Your printer talks to HP. You skip the middleman, which means you save money and time. So monthly plans start as low as $2.99, and you can save up to 50% on the cost of ink. So check it out, and the code is SPRING3 when you go to hpinstantink.com. And when we come back, we are going to kick off this great show with the creative directors of Peter and the Wolf in Hollywood, and they are from the company called Giants Are Small. Edouard Jetta and Doug Fitch will be joining us, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
This first segment is fantastic because we're talking about apps, which we all love, moms and kids, and a new children's app that's actually just been released on iPad and iPhone, which is called Peter and the Wolf in Hollywood. And it turns 80. It's the 80th birthday of the original tale by Prokofiev back in 1936. And I'm pleased to introduce the brilliant creators of the app, Doug Fitch and Edouard Jetta. And welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello.
Happy Hello. Birthday, thank Peter. You. I love your accents, by the way. So we'll jump right into the story. You tell us a little bit. It's actually your company is called Giants Are Small, and you actually started out doing lavish stage productions. Give us a little background. Let's start with Doug. Give us a little background on Giants Are Small.
Okay. Well, actually, it started out with a production of Peter and the Wolf, which we did with the Los Angeles Philharmonic.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we've been working with this material for a long time. What we did was we did something that was called live animation. And we made a little movie on the stage with the orchestra. And that became basically what the app is.
Right. And it's a beautiful app. I took a sneak peek, and the background and the landscape of the app. So, Edward, tell us a little bit about the app then. What's different and special about Peter and the Wolf in Hollywood?
Well, first of all, just to qualify it, it's a storybook. So you go through the story in an interactive way. In the iPad version, you can actually play within the scene certain games. And as you swipe through the story, you also discover some of the best classical music ever. So we have original recordings for every scene. And so you go through incredible visuals, games, and there is a discovery section in the app which allows you to dig in the classical music you're listening to.
Well, that's fantastic. So you're not only do you get to play games throughout the app and helping Peter in the story, but you have the beautiful music composition in the background. Tell us a little bit about Doug. Tell us a little bit about the orchestra that created the music.
So after the Los Angeles Philharmonic did it with us, but then for the app, all the music was actually recorded by young people. It's the German National Youth Orchestra, and they're all basically under 18 years old, and they're amazing. Mm. So it's kind of wonderful to have music being performed for children by children.
That's wonderful. And it's brought to life by, is it Deutsche Grammophon? Is that how you say it?
That's right, Deutsche Grammophon and Universal.
Universal Music, great. So tell us a little bit, so what's the biggest... the rock star power that's in the app, Edward?
Yeah, well, we've worked with Alice Cooper, who might come as a surprise to many people, because obviously if there is one person who you wouldn't think of when you think about classical music, it's Alice Cooper, and that was the whole point. I mean, we really wanted to make sure we reach out to the rock and roll world and somebody who had a very different take on things than we did.
Right.
And Alice is fantastic. I mean, he's a fantastic man also. We've discovered him through that adventure. And his voice is just irresistible. I mean, it's just so much fun to go through that story with him.
Because and he's a grandfather, too.
He's a grandfather, too, yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He just became the grandfather of twins, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic. I just remember, you know, he always has the heavy metal, you know, the makeup and the hair, you know, the crazy hair. But so he voices all the characters or just Peter?
He does all of them. I just want to say it's not the scary Alice Cooper that you have in the
Oh, no, I know.
It's actually the sweet Alice Cooper.
And actually, I do a couple voices, too. I'm a newscaster.
Oh, okay. So you have, that's your claim to fame,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. So, why Peter and the Wolf in Hollywood? You said that was one of the originals, Doug. Did you decide to do it? Which came first? You know, the app or the story? How did it evolve as a children's app?
Well, it actually started because we needed to fill up. Peter and the Wolf itself is only about 25 minutes long. So when you perform it as a symphonic stage, you need to decide what else you're going to play. So we decided it would be cool to write more of the story, what happened before what we know of when we think of Peter and the Wolf. And since we were doing it in Los Angeles, we decided, well, let's just make it there and make it very contemporary. And that's
right.
It was as simple as that.
So it's actually an updated version of the original story, again,
right.
set in Russia, but it's in a modern-day Hollywood.
That's right, yeah.
And in the original tale, the wolf comes from the forest. In this tale, the wolf comes from the zoo. He escaped the zoo.
Ah,
and it's actually based
okay.
on a true story, believe it or not, that happened in L.A. in the 70s. The wolf escaped from the zoo, and we thought that was a very good reason for having a wolf in the city.
It's one of those things, sort of hard to imagine, but since it actually happened, we decided we could make it happen.
And it would only happen in L.A., so I completely, yeah. I totally believe you. So tell us a little bit. So the app launched, again, with Alice Cooper as the voice, as all the characters, the voices, and Doug's. And then where can our listeners find the app and information about it, the story?
It's very easy. You go on the App Store. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can download it. Actually, the iPhone version is free for the first chapter, so you can even try it. and make sure you like it, you will like it.
Oh, perfect.
But right. The other thing is, there's much more information on the website, which is peterandthewolfinhollywood.com, just like we would pronounce it. And
right.
You have plenty of videos. There's one thing I want to add. It's the making of aspect, which is fascinating. We've worked for over 18 months crafting all the decors and the visuals and the models, photographing them by hand, making them by hand, photographing them, animating them. So you have a great amount of making of material on the website, on YouTube, and to discover how that was made, because that's just as fascinating and great as the story itself. You can actually, on the iPhone and the iPad version, you have the making of also included.
Oh, that's awesome. And actually, I'm just peeked into the website. It's called peterandthewolfinhollywood.com, and it does show the behind the scenes, which is fascinating. You guys actually have like real models, and then you put them into the story, into the app.
Exactly. And all the characters have been hand-drawn by Doug, and we've integrated them into the pictures, which I took. And,
right.
And it creates a look which it's pretty unique. As a signature,
yeah.
I think people love it because it's kind of incredible. It's halfway between CGI and hand drawn or cartoons. Very
right.
It sort of feels like three-dimensional drawings, you know.
It does. Yeah, I see that. That's awesome. So it's beautiful. You guys are creative, like geniuses or something. So you're a good team, it sounds like. So again, it's Peter and the Wolf, peterandthewolfinhollywood.com, and celebrating 80 years. Actually, this week, so this show is airing on the week of May 1st. So May 2nd is actually the date of the Prokofiev original symphony that premiered in Russia. So congratulations, gentlemen. It's a beautiful app. And to our listeners out there, the kids will get education and entertainment and classical music, which I know I would love my kids to listen to. So, again, peterandthewolfinhollywood.com. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. And when we come back after this short break, Sarah Gilliland will be the Mom Spotlight guest. We'll be right back. This is the Spotlight on Moms on Mom Talk Radio, and I'm pleased to introduce Sarah Gilliland, who is the mother of 5-year-old twins, so she has got her hands full. She's also a blogger, and she blogs at sarahinthesuburbs.com and on Twitter, Sarah in the Burbs. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So as I open the show, it is Mother's Day week, and it's great to talk to a mom who's in the trenches with twins. And so give us a little bit of information about your blog, and then we'll talk about some Mother's Day gifts.
Perfect. Well, my blog got its start a couple of years ago when I was holding my newborn twins in my arms and thinking, what on earth am I doing? What have I gotten myself into? And I was just kind of lonely. Didn't really have a lot of connections out in the community, so I started reaching out to people online, and I started reading other people's blogs, and I thought, how fun, I should start my own blog. And it really started out as a blog about my twins. It was solely stuff that grandmothers would want to read. It was not really interesting and relevant to other people. And just recently, like you said, I have 5-year-old twins now, and they are going to be starting school this fall, and I've been trying mm-hmm. to think, okay, what am I going to do to fill my day while they're at school? And I thought, you know what, I need to get back to my blog and get back to the roots of why I started it, which was to reach out to other moms and to encourage them and just share my real life stories with them in hope that they don't feel alone like I did when I was in the early years of rearing my children.
Well, I can tell you, I have three, and the first one especially, it's like, ooh, what did I do? And you're kind of all of a sudden, everything that was before that, your friendships or even work, even in some cases, depending on your choices, they're gone, and you're sitting there with this baby who can't talk back. And so, but
right.
You've got double that with twins. So when it comes to Mother's Day, you've written a recent blog post about gifts, but not the typical flowers and chocolate. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I wrote the beginning of my post does talk about things that are physical and tangible that moms would like. And I kind of tried to focus on things that we don't think about for Mother's Day. I'm a a newly restarted, I guess, if you will, blogger. And so I kind of hint at my husband a lot when it's time to give gifts, Mother's Day, Christmas, my birthday, et cetera. I talk about things that I need, like a camera or a new bag to carry all of my equipment in, or I'd love some new dishes to take, you know, my food pictures on and that sort of thing. You know, just things that you wouldn't normally associate with Mother's Day, but have a lot of meaning to me personally because of what I do outside of being a mom. But at the end of my post, I included some things that just you could do at any point during the year, but specifically on Mother's Day to let the moms in your life know that you care. I think I had three things on there, and one of them was your time, because moms don't have, I know you know because you're very busy with Mom Talk Radio and all of your great things that you do outside of your role as mom. You just don't have a lot of time for yourself, and so it's really nice when someone offers to do something for you or offers to do something with you and that's not with the kids. Just time is a precious commodity that us moms don't seem to have enough of. My second thing was, your help. I think a lot of times us moms think that we have to do it on our own, that we don't need to ask other people for help, or we're not a good enough parent if we do ask for help. And so a lot of people won't offer their help because they think, oh, well, she's got it all together, I don't need to help her. And I say, no, you need to go out there and offer your help, whether the mom has asked you or not. Especially, gosh, when I was raising the girls when they were brand new babies, I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know what I needed people to do for me. And people just came and did stuff. People brought food. People came and did my laundry. People came and vacuumed my floors. And I just think those people were a godsend.
Yes. And also,
just giving your mom your thankfulness. I know that now as a mom, I look to my mom and say, I'm so sorry I never said thank you enough when I was younger. I pushed you away a lot and told you weren't cool enough to be around me, or any, you know, things that
right.
you say when you're a teen that you're like, oh, I kind of forgot that now. So I always make sure every time I see her, I'm like, thank you for raising me to be a good mom. And even though I didn't say thank you now, I'm saying thank you now. So please accept my thanks now, because you were a good mom even
nice.
When I told you I didn't like you back in the day.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I know. And I'm going through it now because I have teenagers, but I know that they appreciate it. But you're right. Just showing appreciation and gratefulness for the job that moms do day in and day out. A lot of the unsung heroes, as I like to call them. And I'm a twin, too. And you know what I do on my birthday? I send my mother flowers. So I never said that to Mom Talk Radio audience that. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. It's sarahinthesuburbs.com. And is your list on your blog, the list of Mother's Day gifts, both tangible and intangible?
Yes, it is. It's just called a Mother's Day Gift Guide. So if they search for that, it's actually one of my more recent posts. So it should still be on the front page for everybody to see.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah. Best of luck with the blog and with the twins, and good luck when they start school. Enjoy this summer. And when we come back, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be joined by Nicole Witt, and she is the executive director of the Adoption Consultancy. We'll be right back.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
On this segment, we're going to talk about a very important and prevalent topic, which is adoption. And my guest is Nicole Witt. She is the executive director of the Adoption Consultancy. That's at theadoptionconsultancy.com. And she's a frequent speaker on adoption and infertility. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Nicole.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about the Adoption Consultancy as a resource for hopeful parents.
Sure. What we do is that I tell people sort of a quick way to get it is that we're kind of like wedding planners for adoption, and we guide people step by step through the process. And one of the many things we do is that we connect them with our nationwide network of agencies and attorneys, so they get a lot more opportunities than if they're just signed up with, say, one agency, so that on average they can adopt much more quickly.
So if you are, you're saying it's almost like you're just an aggregate of information and different resources for a prospective
Right, and
parents.
We create, it's not just sort of a clearinghouse of information. We create customized plans. We work one-on-one with our clients all the way through the process. You know, we do a lot of training. We help them create their profile, which is kind of like a scrapbook that birth moms look at to choose the adoptive parents so that when they are presented, they have a much greater chance of getting selected. So it's very customized, intensive work together.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sure it's a much needed and appreciated service you offer. So let's go into the actual topic you want to talk about today, which is showers. Let's talk about baby showers. I know
yeah.
April and May are typically a lot of, you know, baby shower months happening when the weather turns nicer. So give us a little idea about what adoptive parents can do.
People don't really know what to do for an adoption baby shower, and sometimes they end up doing nothing, and then the adoptive parents feel very, you know, slighted and upset about that. So I think the most important thing to do up front is to ask them what they want. Some people want, you know, kind of as typical a shower as possible. Some people might want to wait until after the baby has been placed with them. If they're adopting internationally, it might be a little bit different if the child is older. So the most important thing to do up front is to just have open communication with the adoptive parents and find out what they want from the shower.
There's probably never a situation that's going to be the same or cut and dried. So
right,
that's great
exactly.
advice. I actually saw, I remember years ago, a friend of mine adopted, and she sent out birth notices that said he was selected, not expected, which I thought was really clever.
Oh,
really
yeah.
Clever
that,
way to do it.
That is
yeah.
nice. And one of the great things that you can do now, you know, these days that you can do beautiful email and text invitations is that mm-hmm. you can actually include links to information that will help educate the guests before they come about, you know, subtle differences like that and what's, you know, appropriate language to use and what's not appropriate language to use. And sometimes you can even customize those links for the particular invitee in case, you know, somebody might need a little extra help in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really great. So everybody can be really up to speed on how this shower is so special before they arrive.
Right, right. So what other tips do you have for how to spoil the adoptive parents?
Well, I would say, you know, one thing that's different than sort of typical baby showers is that it's hard to find the decor and the themes and so on, because if you go to the store, everything is so focused on the baby bump and the pregnancy and so on. So a little more do-it-yourself effort, you know, going to Pinterest or sites like that, not only can you customize for, you know, whatever colors or themes that they like, but you can find things very specific to adoption, so you can make the whole shower, you know, that much more personal for them.
Right.
So that's one special way to do it.
Right. What about presents? I mean, obviously, if you know, it's certainly not a surprise. And it's even not this generation, of course, always has a gender reveal. So everybody knows what it is.
Right.
But even if it's an adoptive child. You have another suggestion for presents.
Yeah, well, you have to include the information that you have on the invitation. If you know gender, if you know age, if you know size, because, again, it may
right.
be a newborn, it may not be a newborn. So, you know, obviously the types of gifts and clothes and so on that people are going to buy are going to be very different. So you want to include all that information. But one of the things to think about as far as gifts with adoption is that, you know, adoption is very expensive, okay? And, you know, although the adoptive parents might love it if you showed up with a jar of cash, you know, that's probably not all that appropriate. but they
right.
may be in debt from the adoption, or they may really have tapped into accounts that they wanted to use for other things for the baby. So one great thing that the person who's throwing the shower can do is set up a GoFundMe page for donations towards their adoption costs. So that's something that's often appreciated a lot more than another cute outfit.
That's a great idea. You're right. And I know just from anything from attorney's fees to, you know, just the process, and especially international. I'm guessing international is more expensive than
it tends, you know, to be in the same ballpark, but then you have the travel costs on top of it.
Mm,
so in total,
okay.
it ends up being more expensive.
Right, right. So that's a great idea. So at theadoptionconsultancy.com, what can our listeners find there?
What they can find is the details on the different services, the different levels of sort of hand-holding that we offer, and there are a lot of great resources on the page as well in terms of articles and information for people who are just considering adoption and not really sure where to start.
Right, and where are you located?
I'm based out of the Tampa area, but we work with clients all over the country.
Sure. Actually, we're on the East Coast, so we're just on the other side of Florida from you.
Oh, great.
So that's great. And how long is the adoption consultancy, how long have you been the executive director of the consultancy, and how long has it been in existence?
Well, I've been since the beginning. I launched the company about 11 years ago now, and we have had over 500 clients take placements, and our average time frame is about 6 months.
Oh, great. So you have a nice success story.
Yeah.
So wonderful tips for adoption showers, let's say. And thank you so much, Nicole Witt, for joining us. And again, the website to visit is theadoptionconsultancy.com. And we'll have a link to that on Mom Talk Radio next week. And after this short break, Allison Eberle will join us. She is the founder of Pure Spoon. It's all about baby food. Stay with us.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
This segment of Mom Talk Radio is going to be all about food. Nothing is really more important than what we feed our child. And Allison Eberle can speak to that. She is the founder of Pure Spoon. And as a working mother, Allison did not like what she was finding in the baby store and was looking to feed her six-month-old baby something other than pre-made processed food. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So I want you to give your story of the evolution of Pure Spoon.
Pure Spoon is 100% certified organic fresh fruit and veggie purees for kiddos. We use high-pressure pasteurization, or HPP, which is a cold pasteurization technique instead of high heat, so our food has better taste and nutrition. I developed this when my daughter was younger. She's 5 now, because I couldn't find anything that I felt comfortable giving her at the grocery store. And I thought there has to be a better way to feed my child and everybody else's children better food.
Right. And I mentioned as in your bio, you're a working mother. So I would say, well, just make your own baby food. But I know that's a lot of work. So
I did do that. I actually never bought a pouch or jarred baby food. I made all of it. And it was a lot of work. And I had one kiddo, and I thought, you know, this isn't going to be too much work, but they're finicky and they eat many times a day at night. And I just said, there's got to be a convenient way of offering parents on a global scale food that you can make at home, but have it available so they don't have to make it every day.
Right. So when you talk about then you came up with the idea of the Pure Spoon product line. How long did it take from that aha moment to seeing it actually on shelves of grocery stores?
It took quite some time. So we quickly realized that there was a need for this in the marketplace. The only thing that's been available for the last 80 years or so has been pouched or jarred food. That's shelf stable, that's cooked in high heat, and then it's actually cooked in its packaging. So when I discovered all this after researching the options, it took me about 2 years to figure out how to offer what all of us make in our kitchen using fresh fruits and vegetables to have it stay fresh and, of course, have it pasteurized so it's safe for everybody to eat on the grocery store shelves. And that's how we found out about HPP, or high-pressure pasteurization. And nobody had done it before for purees or baby food. And it took about 2 years. Yes, it took about 2 years for me to figure out the packaging part of it, the processing part of it, how to make the food. We use our food is either steamed or raw. All of the produce that we use comes in fresh. We didn't want to use anything pre-made. And it took a long time. We had to do some extensive testing to make sure everything was safe, what the parameters were for HPP, And then we got a phone call from Whole Foods, and that was the first retailer who picked us up, and that was a little over a year ago.
Whole Foods, Sprouts, Wegmans, Target, it's been quite a year then.
It has been quite a year, and I have been very blessed and grateful that parents understand the difference between Pure Spoon and what has been available to them. And I would never tell a parent to not make the food at home. That's exactly what I did for the entire first year. This is when somebody doesn't want to or can't do it all the time. How do you get what you're doing at home using fresh certified organic fruits and vegetables and have it at the store?
I would be one of those moms. I would say I would have the best of intentions of making my own food for my babies, but it never worked out. Or I would do a whole batch and then half of it would go bad, or I'd forget to freeze it. So your Pure Spoon would have been perfect for my kids are a lot older now.
Well, that's exactly right. I know my daughter, you know, she likes broccoli for 5 days straight. So you make a whole bunch of it, for example, and then they decide one day, yeah, not interested.
Exactly. And then all that broccoli, like, what do I do with this? So you have some popular flavors. What are those?
So we have 11 different recipes. They all started with what I was feeding my daughter, and then we worked with a licensed pediatric dietitian to make sure they were all perfectly balanced for our little guys. We have our most popular is creamy avocado and pear. We wanted to make sure that we had fat for young children. They need fat for brain development and other organs developing properly, and there wasn't anything in the baby food aisle, so we wanted to make sure we had that covered. And we actually just received a National Parenting Products Award for that particular flavor, so we're really excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
So are it's interesting about HPP because I hadn't heard of it until recently, and then of course now you hear it a bunch of times, but I heard it, you just mentioned it too. So does it mean that your foods then have to be refrigerated on the store shelf, or is it on the regular dry food aisle?
No, so it's not shelf stable, so it remains fresh in our product. HPP is an innovative FDA certified pasteurization technique. A lot of premium juice companies use it, and nobody had done it for baby food or purees. And so we just figured out how to utilize that technique for purees. And
right.
It uses high pressure instead of high heat. So it doesn't degrade the food. It doesn't break down the food. So ounce for ounce, you're literally getting more flavor and nutrition than a traditionally high heat pasteurized food product, which is why
right.
we loved it so much.
Kudos, because I know the food industry is so heavily regulated with all the labeling mm-hmm. and then to find that process that worked for baby food, and then to also know that you've got children's, you know, the moms want to know that they're feeding their children the healthiest food. That's quite an accomplishment that you've got here with these products.
Thank you. Well, we wanted to make sure it was healthy and safe. So we did a whole lot of testing to make sure that everything was working. And I think that the demand had been there, the need. Parents were screaming for better choices that were available at the grocery store shelves, but they couldn't find it. And you
right.
just kind of needed a kind of a mama on a mission to figure out how to get HPP to work for purees. And my daughter's 5. She still takes one to school almost every day in lieu of like an applesauce or a cut up piece of fruit or vegetable. So we make sure that she gets all of her nutrition in there.
It's purespoon.com. And again, they're on Target, Wegmans, Sprouts, and Whole Foods Market stores. Congratulations, Allison, for a wonderful product, and best of luck as you, I'm sure, you will expand. And when we come back, we're going to wrap the show with special guest Gina Ciagni. And we're rounding out another fabulous edition of Mom Talk Radio with our guest, Gina Ciagni. She is Lansinoe's Global Vice President, Healthcare Relations, and is a nationally recognized expert on breastfeeding, a La Leche League International trained breastfeeding peer counselor. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Gina.
Thank you.
You are a very sought after speaker and media source. You've been on The Bump, CNN, Fox News. So tell us what your role is at Lansinoe.
I am our chief lactation counselor. I happen to be a former Lansinoe product user. I breastfed and pumped for both of my kids. So I advise moms and healthcare providers on breastfeeding, the ins, the outs, the basics about breastfeeding and breast pumping, and also advise on our products to ensure that all of our products are really addressing solutions to any challenges that a breastfeeding mom would have.
Particularly for working moms, but any mom who's breastfeeding and is active and needs to be able to be on the go with her baby, what does Lansinoe offer for those moms?
Lansinoe offers a full suite of products for, again, any challenge that a breastfeeding mom would have. When a mom is starting to nurse, you know, breastfeeding is natural, but it doesn't always come naturally. And sometimes some products are needed in order to get her over any challenges like leaking, like sore nipples, like, you know, some protective products that will help, you know, latch a baby on so mom can get through those hurdles and she can continue breastfeeding her baby. And with working in particular, moms are often juggling breastfeeding while they're with their baby, but then also needing to address pumping, storing, mm-hmm. and feeding their breast milk.
That's one of the big challenges, I think, for working moms who then, you know, the maternity leave's over, they've got to make that adjustment. Give us some tips. What are your top tips for moms that you tell them?
It can be very isolating. Obviously, you have this baby, and babies are just starting to be fun and engaging, especially around the three-month mark when a lot of U.S. moms are going back to work. So it is bittersweet to have to leave your baby, but one of the ways to maintain that connection is by pumping when you're away. That is so you can have breast milk at home or at your daycare when your baby is apart from you, but also will help you maintain your supply. So it's really important that mom understands and really maps out a plan for when she goes back to work, where she's going to pump. You know, her employer under the Affordable Care Act will actually really need to provide a safe, clean place that's not the bathroom to pump, and she'll want to replicate her baby's feeding schedule to keep that supply up and also to keep milk, you know, when she and her baby are apart. It's also really helpful when this time is a very isolating time for her to make connections with other moms who are pumping at work, other moms who have gone through this experience. You often feel very alone, but you aren't the only one in this situation, and that's a lot of what Lansinoe does, is really provide that support and that guidance as you're going back to work, which is part of your breastfeeding journey.
Right. And that's great. So I breastfed all three of my children. So I did not work at the time, but I know, on the third one I did. What am I thinking? And I remember it was very, to me, it was more the supply and demand issue. Like you said, when you get your body used to that schedule because you're not with them 24/7, that was the biggest challenge. But I remember having a neighbor who was a consultant, and she helped me out with that. So that's, you're right. It's a great thing to have. It's a great resource if you provide that information to a lot of working moms who are pumping at work.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you basically, your baby is teaching your body how much milk to make. And again, it is supply and demand. Baby's teaching body, body responds by making the milk. Milk goes out, body replenishes. So you need to keep up that same type of schedule when you're back at work. Also, it's going to get a little uncomfortable if you're filling up with milk. You want to be able to relieve that, and pumping that milk out will be really helpful.
Yes. My son, when he was, he's 15 now, but when he was a baby, he got sick and had, I think rotavirus, one of those things, but hospitalized kind of thing. And he was not eating. And oh my goodness, I've never felt pain like that, even in labor. It was really, really bad. Mastitis, the whole nine yards, but we won't get into those horror stories at this point. Lansinoe's website, where can moms find information from Lansinoe's website?
Moms can find more information at lansinoe.com. It's lansinoh.com. We have a lot of supportive guidance articles. We have a Lansinoe Moms Club, which is an email program where moms can sign up when they're pregnant and get targeted age-specific information when they're pregnant and when baby is born, all about breastfeeding throughout the first year.
Right. And I actually remember using one of Lansinoe's products when I started with my son, first time ever, you know, first baby. So they are available nationwide at most major retailers, correct?
Products? Absolutely. Yes. Target, Walmart, Babies R Us, CVS, all mass specialty and baby stores as well, and grocery.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us, Gina, with this great information. And thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks, Maria, and this is Marian for Mom Talk Radio. Have a great week, everyone. Check out momtalkradio.com for this show and past shows.